I did make some of that tea.
Oh, okay. I need the recipe. Is your new computer or your computer ready yet?
No, it's still in the shop. I'm on the desktop right now.
Oh, okay.
In your study.
In your study.
Be in my study.
That's how you know you made it, man. You have a study.
The acoustics are a little bit different.
Yeah. But it's cool. Yeah, so how many plants you got with you in your study?
Right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And one is basically dead over here because apparently when we got it, it already had root rot really bad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the one I sent you the picture of the plant brain. Did I show you that?
Yeah. I remember. I thought I did.
That's that one. But it was still too late to save it. And then there's another one that we got from the same place back in the bedroom that's also dying of root rot.
Wow.
So that's a sign that I'm not going to say who it is, but it's just a sign that they overwater the plants.
Got it.
They just have them all. You could tell they just walk up and down the aisles with a water hose and just soak all the plants.
Yeah. So that's.
And you're not supposed to really do that.
Okay. But you got it from the same place.
Yeah. Because this particular plant, ZZ plant, I can't really turn the computer, but.
Yeah.
It's a plant where when I first got it, this white lady was this older lady. She was she said, "Oh yeah, that's a beautiful plant. A lot of hospitals use that because they take barely any maintenance." And I was like, "Yeah, these are nice or whatever." And then she was like, "A key point of advice though, if you want to kill it, water."
What? Like, that's okay. What she said. If you want to kill it, water it.
And she was not lying because by the time we got it, they had already watered it to death. You know,
wow,
but we didn't realize,
man,
that's man. Where the root rot comes from, over watering your plants.
Wow, okay, I am learning. I need to just get something and learn, learn on it. So,
yeah, man,
what are we talking about this time? So yeah,
we like to talk about cults. Like, it's just interesting, and so
it is interesting.
I can talk to Jason about because he happens to watch it too.
Yes.
And so we're like, "Yo, did you see this cult documentary?" It's just so interesting. So
it
like, if I haven't seen one, he'll tell me about it.
Yeah.
But you told me about this one, right?
No, you started this one.
I told you.
Yes. Oh, okay. You were like, there's a new cult documentary out.
But yeah, I don't know. They're just interesting. It's an interesting kind of case study on people.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, it's an interesting, what do you call it? Social experiment, almost?
Yeah.
And the way people can be manipulated, and you know, it's crazy like how you may not even realize it's happening. It's like, oh shit, it's a cult.
Right, exactly.
Work can feel like that sometimes. Depending on where you work.
Oh man.
You know, so interesting.
So as you can tell, it's for the first time ever, I think, maybe the second time, me and you, no, Josh is not here. So
Josh don't really watch cult
not stuff. Really. He did watch this. So Josh, if you're listening.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Josh.
He's too busy in San Francisco hanging out with the celebrities at the Comic-Con. But
oh shit.
Yeah, we're gonna jump right into it. I'm Jason, also known as Smiley, and we have 7:30, also known as
I am 7:30
Marcus. And we're gonna talk about Escaping Twin Flames, the documentary from Netflix, but just the whole documentary or the whole cult in itself. So
yeah, very interesting. Interesting, like the thing about cults is it's usually like a successful cult is usually led by, you know, there's an end game, you know, and the successful ones have really interesting people leading them. There's really unique characters, whether they're putting on an act or they're just that unique of a person or whatever. It's like, that's usually what draws people in and keeps their attention, keeps them entertained.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, think about some of the ones that have been the most famous cults, you know, Drink the Kool-Aid, you know, that's definitely one. Then you got some of the ones that's been like
Jonestown.
Yeah. Jim Jones. Yeah. The and then the Heaven's Gate.
Oh man. Yeah,
so
that was unfortunate.
And then the one where he emasculated himself. So yeah.
Well, I know that's the one where they killed themselves too.
They all kill themselves. I'm saying, didn't he emasculate himself? Like he cut his penis off? In Heaven's Gate?
I don't know. Oh my goodness.
I'm pretty sure. So yeah. They wow. But then there's the one we did watch a couple ones but the cults, I love cult documentaries so much because, like you said, social experiment, but like it shows the it shows people's vulnerabilities, but also it shows the extreme nature of like how corrupt someone can be. Because, you know, everybody has a level of, you know, sensitivity, emotions. And so it's like, you know, everybody's not easily weighed, but there is, groupthink, you know, where it's like, okay, a lot of people do certain things and it makes sense. And so social media does that, you know, where you create like who we hating today, you know, we just create a big, you know, thing. But the cult,
you can make a very successful cult with social media at your hands.
And I think that's what these people do. They use social media.
They use the marketing to draw you in. It's like, oh, these people understand me. They're talking about, you know, finding love on a spiritual level. Man, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. I like crystals. I like to meditate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's some shit. Maybe if I was single, I'd be like,
twin flames.
What's twin flames?
Yeah, I miss it.
If I was single and like a hopeless romantic kind of type, you kind of have to be. They pull on that heartstring as well, and so if you're the right kind of person in the right kind of situation, then you can easily see this appealing. Like, who are these folks? Let me check this out, because it seems harmless. You know, you go to who's this quirky couple here?
Right, right.
Say they got a bunch of money. What they doing? What they talking about? Wow, they got a whole website.
Yeah.
Who are all these people following them? What's going on here?
It's intriguing.
And then you start paying attention, and then you're watching the video. It's super easy for them to use social media to be very successful.
Yeah. So you think we talk a little bit about this, but like, what makes a cult a cult? Because you said that your job can be a cult. What makes a cult,
you know,
a cult?
A cult is like, what makes a cult a cult? There's usually one person that's very much in charge of everything, and it's typically a situation where everything is either approved by or seeking approval and admiration of the leader.
Yeah.
Usually that's simple, you know, this leader is usually looked at as a divine or in contact with divine
the only
somehow
kind of
on a level that, right, yeah, like somehow on a level unobtainable
from anybody else
by anybody yeah. else.
It's like it's only me, you know, only me. I'm the only one that can talk to God or the divine or the creation or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm the one, and you have to go through, or I am
or
God.
I am the physical embodiment.
I am
of,
the voice right, of God. You know. So like whatever I say goes, and so that right there creates this supreme, you know, hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Where everybody else is under mm-hmm. me, and I have to, you have to submit to what I say. That's dangerous.
And the whole, your whole goal in life, your whole goal in life is to try to step up this hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of holiness or divineness, or I'm gonna get as close to this guy and his approval, because it's usually a guy.
Yes, yes.
That I can.
Yeah. And you do everything that they say to the extreme. And even mm-hmm. when you feel uncomfortable, like that's how you know, like, because you think about, I think it was
that's, I think, breeded out of fear of not being able to sustain and live without them. Now that you've come into contact with them,
yeah,
you know, there's no way you could possibly live life without this entity in your
life. That's the thing. I'd be wondering, like, why do people, because you're usually these documentaries are interviewed by people who were former cult members. That's typically mm-hmm. how they know, because they've been there. They were a part of it. And that's the thing is like, mm-hmm. how are you able, when you watch it, you're like, why did you follow that? Why did you do that? Like the one with the guy when mm. the dad lived in with the moved in with the friends roommate in college.
Oh, you talking about Brother B?
No. I'm talking about the guy that was, his daughter was in college and he just decided to become a roommate with his daughter. Do you remember that one? It was like,
wait, was that Keeps?
No. This was the one they were it was a college, it was a university. And then he ended up having like a small little apartment. And he had these, it was only like a dozen people. They were all living together. He would make them work, but his daughter was a part of it. And then she moved out.
Oh,
you ain't seen that one?
No, I'm not familiar.
Oh
with that.
Man. So I'll be wondering, I got to find the name of that. But
yeah, you gotta find
that. That was crazy because it's like, I forget. It was like, of it was some university. It was like, I'm gonna look it up, but I'm like, why are you listening to this old man? Because he just moved in with his daughter in college.
It wasn't Keep Sweet.
No. He was, but yeah. So like, why would you listen to him? And they would do everything he says. And he's like, you know, do push-ups. And, you know, he would, you know, like he's a military guy. He wasn't attractive at all, but he just manipulated everybody so much because of his power. And that's really what I see. Like, yeah. it's a form of manipulation. It's all about, honestly,
all about power and control.
Power,
that's
control,
really all it is. It's
money and sex is part of it. It's the feed mm-hmm. that power and control.
Right, right. It's usually sex driven or gender, like gender driven. You know what I mean?
Toxic masculinity.
You know. Yeah. That's the common thread. In a lot of,
it's called Stolen Youth: Inside the Cult at Sarah Lawrence.
Oh no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, because Sarah Lawrence College. Yep, you need to watch that. Put that on your list. It's wild, but this one,
I'll pull in it.
This one is interesting. I think this one feeds on a couple of things. So it's interesting because this is the idea. We talk a little bit about this. You mentioned it a few minutes ago about how maybe if you were single and, you know, exploring things, the idea of twin mm-hmm. flame is interesting, because the idea of twin flames is not a cult. It's not a cult. It's the idea,
right.
And they didn't create
that. There's a the idea that they're essentially a soulmate.
Right.
Your one and only soulmate, that things are destined to work out in y'all's favor.
But it's some supernatural, you know.
But it's a supernatural predestination to
join
connection with this person.
Right. And that's really what.
And you got this, like, one chance in this one life to make that shit work.
Find that one person and make it work, or mm-hmm. else. That's it.
Or else. It's always or else. unanswered.
Or else what? Or else right. That. So yeah, that idea is interesting. And I think, you know, I wonder why it became so attractive. Because there's like 67,000 people in that group even now.
It's interesting that it became attractive now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were growing up, the idea, that's not a far-fetched idea, because we grew up in single parent households. We grew up very traditional Christian. We grew up just taught through either church or movies, TV.
Yeah, that yeah.
You gonna find the one. The one. She's the one. The one. Boomerang was all about finding the one.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? All these 90s movies, 90s romantic comedy was all about finding the one. The one.
Yep.
The one.
Yep.
That's supposed to work or whatever. And it's always complete chaos until you get with
the one. I absolutely had that thought.
Growing up, yeah, I had that thought.
Yeah.
But it's funny that there wasn't a twin flame back then, because that would have been perfect.
No, yeah. You know, I would have been like, that explains everything.
Right, right.
For I would have been a part of
like,
that cult.
People that was adults in the 90s,
yeah.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah, they painted that
the
picture.
The one, the one.
And it's, I mean, honestly, I believe that some of that too, even in the church culture, they call it the purity culture. Which people are finally like, it was so toxic because it's like it's creating this image of the one.
You got to get it right.
Yeah.
The first
and
turn.
If you don't have it, you just like wait, true love waits. And it's like, okay, well, if you really love someone, then, you know, there's only one person and you just got to, you know, hold yourself until you can find that one person. And that's just like, it creates this toxicity. Mm-hmm. And so not that, you know, I'm not a person that says you need to sleep around. Like, that's not who I am. But I'm saying that a lot of that culture was meant to put you down and create this almost this fake false hope of only one. And I think that's what the twin flame feeds on. It feeds on that, man, if I could just find that one person, then I'll be able to save my life. It's like as if
that's
your life.
I feel like I'm so surprised to hear people's interest in that philosophy now.
Yeah.
In the 2020s, you know,
it sounds more 90s than it is 2023.
That would have been way out the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like that. That
but I mean,
like,
that
no
love
twin flame. What you talking about?
But that's still, I mean, if you look at the makeup of the group, you know, that was a part of that group is really, I mean, mostly women. Heterosexual women were part of the group looking for that one guy. And, you know, the reality is I think we do know that there are, I don't have the statistics, but
there's another bit to that demographic. Another detail to that demographic.
But, I think it's part of that American dream. It's part of that, you know,
that
fantasy.
See, that's
that
shit
create.
That you see on TV, that shit you see in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
The picket fence, the husband and the dog and the all that shit.
2.5 kid.
The radio flyer and the tires.
And you're not, and even like and I think Disney has gone away from it as much as more than what they used to, but they created that where, you know, they find the one and they live happily ever after, you know, that type of thing. And it's like, that's, you know, even with Little Mermaid, you're not really human until you find your prince.
Right. You can't even get laid.
So
until you found the one true love.
And that is. And
this
that's
for this short
then,
period of time
if you know,
that you're on the
how surface. Do you end any curse?
Because your twin flame couldn't possibly be another merman.
Not at all.
It's gotta be
and
a
even
human
with any
man
Disney
with a penis. If you really want the divine masculine.
Divine masculine.
Which can only come through the form of a penis.
Oh my goodness.
You
gotta
find your true twin flame.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna get
into
that.
Let's get into
shit.
This because this cult feeds into all of
those
things.
That's a literal philosophy from the cult we're
from
about
this
to talk
cult,
about.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. So, oh man. So, what makes this cult unique? All right. So we got a few notes.
Well, yeah, we covered the one true love aspect. That's like, that's what, that's the foundation of this whole
world,
is you finding your one true love and being in divine unity. What they called it
harmonious union. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what you want to reach. You want to reach harmonious union with your one
with
true
your
love.
One true love. And that is attractive to so many people, because it's like, oh man, if I'm not with the one and I'm not in harmonious union, then I haven't made it. But I can find it and this is the thing, he guarantees. So this couple, Jeff and Shalea, Divine, they call their, that's their last name. Jeff and Shalea Divine. They promise, they say, and this is how they advertise. They say, like, if you follow our instructions, we will teach you. If you pay for our classes, we will teach you by the time you end our class, that we guarantee that you will have channeled your true twin flame. Guaranteed. Twin flame. All you got to do is follow our steps, and you are guaranteed to have your twin flame. And that's guaranteed. Like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Like, if I just listen to them, I'm going to follow and find my one true man. And, you know, so folks is dealing with trying to deal with single life and, you know, going up and down and dealing with all the apps and stuff. It's like, wait, all I got to do is go here and I learn. And really, they teach you about yourself, which it sounds good. It's like, okay, like, you know, do mirror exercises, learn about who you are, you know, if you're a better version of yourself.
The mirror exercise, man. Because they force you to basically, what's an example of a mirror exercise? I'm mad at Jason. Yeah. You know, I guess we were supposed to meet up at fucking Cups or something.
And he forgot.
Drove all the way across town to go to Cups and he forgot. All
right.
Oh, mad at me, my bad, man. You know,
I wouldn't say that. I would say use the mirror exercise.
Right.
It's like, you mad at me?
You wouldn't even apologize.
Use the mirror exercise.
You mad at me? You mad at me? Then you need to use the mirror exercise. And then I say, damn, he's right. And I say, well, what is it about myself that makes me project myself and my anger towards Jason?
I'm angry.
Oh, I'm angry because I thought he would actually show up on time. But that's an unfair expectation, because that means that I'm a stickler for time.
You would put your
and
name.
That's because I have a problem with time.
Yep, that's what it is.
And I have to put my name in place of Jason's name when I'm mad at Marcus for being late.
That's so stupid.
I'm mad at Marcus for not showing up to the coffee shop.
Yep.
At all. I'm mad at Marcus for forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I have to, what they call it, they have to heal it. Is that the word they use, but I have to heal that within myself.
Because you're finding the source, and it's really more inward. Now, the thing is, like, I am very introspective, and I rarely blame others on my own, you know, challenges. The only thing that I say, I can control my actions and my attitude. I can't control what everybody else do. And so, like, I might be upset if Marcus don't show up, but, like, you know, we'll deal with it. It's not going to be like I'm going to be upset with myself for not showing up. That's weird. But, like, I'm still introspective. Right. So I think that part of, but I mean, like, that right there, though, it becomes so extreme to where if there is an event that someone does something that is wrong, you can't admit it, because it's like, now you got to just point the finger back at you. So if someone slaps you in the face, you say, why did I slap myself in the face? Like, that's how it is, right? You know,
maybe I deserve this.
Yeah. So it's like, you just disconnect, and that's right there is teaching you how to be dependent. And, you know, that's part of abusiveness, mentally and physically. But they use
that's
honestly
abuse,
like
right.
a,
A lot of cults
use some kind of psychological inward reflection to get you to depend on the person, the one person. And then that one person can't do the same thing. They won't do a mirror exercise for themselves. They won't reciprocate their own. They just project it to you. Mm-hmm. So, oh yes. And the only people, and this is another thing. So like Jeff and Shalia or Shalea, they're the only ones that can tell you who your twin flame is.
Yeah, they're the only one. And once they tell you, ain't no arguing as to who it is.
No, that's it.
Once they tell you, that's it.
Like, this is your true flame, period.
Is this now, let's talk real quick about the idea of what the divine feminine, the divine masculine is.
Okay.
Just that this is also some foundational things for this group.
Yeah.
Divine feminine is that of, you know, the female, the one who, you know, she is the recipient of the gift that divine masculinity has for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is like bearing children, you know, sexual ecstasy, sexual transcendence.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And Jeff does
divine
say,
masculine.
Go ahead. Yeah, he says that once you find your divine feminine, that divine feminine will provide all of those things for you, like the best sex you ever have ever. Mm-hmm. Like it's like that's how you know you're in harmonious union.
Right. And, you know, that is harmonious union. And, like, you know, he's like, it's different between having a good fuck or having harmonious union. So, you know, finally the divine masculine has come home from work and we get to have sex. And it's not just a good fuck. It's like, and he's saying the word fuck.
Yeah,
when
he does
talking,
say that in his teachings.
As this leader in his teachings.
So, in his
And he's
his
like, you know, we get to have transcendent sex, harmonious union. You know what I'm saying? Which basically he's equating to orgasms.
I guess, yeah.
And so that's very important to know about this cult.
Yeah.
That's your whole goal.
Right.
Is trying to find your twin flame, be they divine masculine. Oh, and there's all another key point is that a true twin flame relationship, there's always a divine feminine and a divine masculine. There's never masculine, masculine, feminine, feminine. Like that can't possibly work.
Yeah.
It's got to be divine feminine.
They use the word
divine masculine.
Divine. In the way to make it spiritual,
right.
Outside of which I think we see that later on too, because,
right.
And we can talk about this now because like when they promise that you're going to find your true flame, your twin flame. I love how the documentary sets it up where, you know, people are looking, they're like honestly in there, they're on these Zoom calls and they're learning and they're trying to find, and there's people like, well, there's one, I think, what was it the name? We talked about it before, but they were like, we're going to channel your twin flame right now, you know? And so, you know, the way that Jeff talks to people is so manipulative.
It's very manipulative and really disrespectful.
Yes, absolutely.
And that even that is part of the manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, even the way he talks to them is all is a part of the manipulation, like, you know, talking down to them, talking in their
right.
way. Yeah, I get to talk to you like this.
Yep. And you just gotta take
you don't
it.
Get to talk over me, but I get
yeah.
to talk over
and
you.
He even does that with Shalea. So the way he talks to her.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like the
he
person,
does that on video with her.
Yeah. It's wild. But
he sure does.
The first person, well, not the first person in order, but like one of the people to be noted was, you said her name is Elle. And so she,
yeah.
They were like, you know, your twin flame, as they talk and listen, you know, she talks about this boyfriend that she's had. I think that's right. And he's like, oh, that's your twin flame. you know, because you really care about him. That's absolutely your twin flame. But he's like, but he's not, like, he's not, you know, he's not really paying me any attention or anything. It's like, well, you gonna let, you know, some of that just stop you from your divine, you know, harmonious union just because he's not paying it? Like, but he cut everything off and he says he didn't want to talk to me anymore. It's like, well, you know, that's just he doesn't know. Like, you just gotta pursue him. You gotta, if I knew who my twin flame was, I would do anything. Wouldn't you risk everything to get with your twin flame? Everything. Right. Wouldn't you?
Right.
The way he asks those kind of questions, like, yeah, I would. And then, you know,
they manipulate you, and like, you know, it's like, you know, I think I should be just a little bit more aggressive. Maybe I should be a little bit more aggressive and pursue this guy.
And she does.
And then, yep. And all hell broke loose because he was like, please stop.
He gives a restraining order first.
Stop trying to contact me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he get
a restraining order.
Well, did he jump straight to the restraining order?
Well, it was a while, but he starts the restraining order. And then after the restraining order, she said that she was happened to be at, you know, at the same club that he was at. You know, that's what she says. That was an accident, and he happened to be there. And then she got arrested.
Yeah, she said it was an accident.
She said it was an accident. You know, I'm debating about whether she knew it was an accident or not. She was like, but regardless of the fact, she got arrested, and she didn't know anybody to call. Like, I think she was in it was like a month that she was in jail. It was a while.
I think she said it was it was at least a month.
Yeah. So she was in jail.
And then when she gets out, they're like, you know, I guess on a meeting, like when they have their meetings on video, you're in front of like everybody.
And that's a paid like service.
Yeah, and you're in a meeting with like everybody that's in the group, in the cult. And so basically they like put her out there and spun the narrative like, yeah, this is L, you know, she decided to stalk her twin flame or whatever, ended up going to jail. Like, I mean, what was that about? Like, basically trying to smear. She was like, because you told me to like be relentless in my pursuit for a twin flame. And cutting her off. Jeff is like, wait, who told you to do that? Nobody. Don't try to put
use
this on me.
Use the mirror exercise.
Like, use the mirror. Basically, use the mirror exercise. And he's like, you know, like, whose idea was it really? Well, my idea. Like, you know, but you know what? Your ruthless pursuit of your twin flame. Then they gaslit her some more and try to spin it around. Like, you know, do you know what? What you did by stalking your twin flame, you know, that basically showed me that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get your twin flame. And, you know, that kind of makes you a spiritual master. And she was kind of laughing and crying at the same time.
Wow.
Like, what? Like, mentally just confused now.
It's wild.
At how he's spinning this. And then, you know, do you know what that does for me? That gives me enormous trust in you, Ellen, and, you know, where I had none before.
Wow.
You know, and we're going to congratulate you by giving you free courses or whatever. So they gave her free courses to Twin Flames University, hush money.
Basically.
You know what I'm saying? To not say nothing. It was crazy. It was wild.
Yeah. So they get to a point. This is because, like, this is.
I added some folks to the notes.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
All right. So
let's talk about Marley. Yeah. Is that the one where they channel?
Marley. Right.
Yeah.
And so Keely is this lady who was in the cult. She's like in like her early 20s or whatever at the time she's in this cult. And she basically found her twin flame taking these trips. She was traveling or whatever and found her twin flame. And they ended up together and end up getting married in like they had known each other for like a couple weeks or something crazy like that, like a couple weeks or maybe a couple months or something.
Is that the same one that was the, because I'm trying to remember, there was one that she was on, they channeled. Well, yeah, she channeled them twin flame. Then they asked her, like, you know, is your, you know, who's been talking to you? It's like, well, she said, somebody inboxed me.
That's her little sister. That's Marley.
Marley.
So Keely.
Okay.
Keely,
so Marley
found her twin
Keely
flame.
Keely's sister. Okay. Keely found the twin flame first.
Right. Keely is the older sister.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Keely
okay.
is the older sister. She found her twin flame, made it work. They're obviously not the happiest.
Right.
The dude's dad thinks he was crazy for marrying.
Yeah,
because
they were together at one point, I think, and they kind of got back together. After she started doing
two
the twin flame
states.
Exercises and stuff. Yeah, right. That's right.
So
they
got together,
the
they married. And when they married, Jeff and Shalia mastered their budget and told them down to the penny, like down to what curtains to buy,
yeah.
what furniture to buy in there, how to decorate, how to arrange the house. Like, it was crazy. And then, like, she convinces her little sister, Marley, to join. Twin flame. Marley is 19 years old.
Right. Young girl.
Apparently very smart and whatever. And she was like up on the, you know, kind of strength of her sister, you know, like, well, I can be
with
my sister.
Sister.
I can move
yeah.
out, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so she ends up joining.
Right.
And they end up, that's the part you're talking about where they end up channeling her twin flame.
That was so weird.
During like one of these meetings.
They had an in-person meeting, I think.
Yeah, they had an in-person meeting in New York.
And they channeled, they were like, we're all going to, you know, bring your twin flame up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, whatever comes up. And then some random person inboxed her, like that was in the twin flame group, I think. And just like, who did you, and Jeff is asking questions. It's like, you know, you're in twin flame show up. I don't know. And Marley's responding. He's like, well, what happened? He's like, well, you know, maybe. But I mean, there's a guy that inboxed me. That's your twin flame.
Right.
Said it just
Joshua,
like that.
What's his name?
Joshua.
Like, what's his name? Joshua. Joshua.
That's your twin flame. Your twin flame. Like, we found your twin flame. And he sings it. And they're excited. It's like,
and
yeah.
She starts crying because she is not. Happy.
Well, she doesn't know. She's kind of
like
confused. She's 19 and she's
She is not. She said she wasn't even attracted.
She wasn't attracted to him.
She said she didn't find him attractive at all. Not from the gate.
At all. And so because Jeff said that was her twin flame, she ended up moving in with him. And they end up having a relationship, but she hated it.
Yep. And he was abusive.
It was toxic. Yeah.
He was very toxic, and he was batshit crazy. And
crazy.
She was just driven to stay with him because she really believed in his twin flame.
Yeah,
you know, philosophy.
Mm-hmm. And she only did all that stuff because Jeff and Shalia said
her sister,
and they said it's okay. And the sister's like, "Yeah, this is what you gotta do." Because the sister became like a coach at this point, because that's like a level where, you know, she's a little bit more authority.
That's one of the levels. Mm-hmm. Even she signed off on who was her twin flame.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Man, poor Marley. They interviewed Marley. She was on the Netflix special.
Oh shit. I see your next note. Divine masculine, divine feminine.
Yeah, yep. So we want to talk a little bit about who's Paula and Stephanie? You want to talk about them?
Paula and Stephanie is an example of that. Paula and Stephanie are the twins.
Oh, okay.
So there are these two twins, Paula and Stephanie. And I think it was Paula who stayed. One of them got out and one of them stayed.
Okay.
And then the one that stayed was like writing letters like, please don't try to contact me anymore.
Right. And just cut off completely.
You know. Thank you for caring about me and being nice, but I don't want to have a relationship with you anymore. Don't ever write me again.
That's and another thing
that
about...
got her mom to smoking cigarettes again. Yeah. Like she had been clean for like a year or something. She was like, started back smoking.
That's another sign of a cult too, is that when the people that are part of that cult cuts off their family and their people, like they can't have any communication with anybody else. And that's really, that's so, your family, I think that's part of the way of feeding control.
Talk sense into you.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, why are you doing this? So, yeah.
Right.
But there was a point where after Jeff and Shalaya is telling everybody that they're going to find a twin flame, and there's only like one or two people that were actually in a relationship. You have a lot of these straight women, mostly in the group. And so, but they're like, we don't want to find another L where you had to stalk anybody, you know? So they're like, well, in order for them to justify their guarantee that you'll find someone, they say that we'll find someone and they're going to be in your group, in the twin flame group. You know, out of the thousands of people that's in the group, one of your twin flame is going to be in the group. Well, basic math, if you have, you know, X amount of straight women, there's not enough straight men to line up if that's their twin flame. So they said, you know what? We have this because we're going to establish this where you can be. We'll let you know if you're divine masculine or divine feminine. And so they just.
Right.
And it's almost seems random for you. But it's like if you show if you're a straight woman that has tomboyish characteristics, then they will call you divine masculine.
You're a divine masculine.
And that's like, and they
even
did that. Like there were some women.
They'll just tell you.
Yeah. It's just randomly. Like, it's like, okay, you're divine masculine. There was one that I can't remember if it was on the Amazon one or this one, but they like, he was trying to get them to change the name, change her name. So there was this couple, and I think her name was like Jan. Let's say it was Jan. And so she's in a relationship. They're in a couple. She's a divine masculine, but she's a lesbian, and I think she's acknowledging that she's a lesbian, but she's not a transgender. She's like, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I want to be a woman.
Right.
I love being a woman, and I love women. So I identify as a woman, and I love women. And this is my, you know, this is my twin flame, another woman, and this is what I want. And so he's like,
I'm a divine feminine. I'm attracted to another divine feminine.
So he said to her, Jan, he's like, well, you're a divine masculine. You know,
yeah, he was like, basically, well, it's always going to be a masculine and a feminine.
And so you're divine masculine, you know, and your name.
Actually, you have more of the divine masculine qualities, and you're going to be the divine masculine in this.
And your name is Dan. That's what he said.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
You remember that?
He sure did. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Wow.
She's like, no. And he's like, no, like it makes more sense. Like,
I'm
you can't have if you're a divine.
This is my woman.
You can't be a, you know, divine masculine and have a feminine name. So name Dan, doesn't Dan sound better? And he's started calling her Dan.
They were
Man.
Like, either it's gonna be that or
because yeah,
y'all can't be in harmonious union.
And then eventually he kicked him out. So both of them, he was like, y'all ain't listening to me. So. But yeah, that was a sign. So what he was trying to do and what they continue to do, because they even had transgender experts interviewed to say that this was wrong, which was interesting because it's like, you know, the idea of forcing someone to choose a gender.
They were telling the transgender, it was a transgender woman. Who they were saying, you're divine masculine. And she was like, well, I'm feminine. Mm. Like, I'm divine feminine. Like, I always knew I was even on the inside that I'm a divine feminine. That's why, you know, even though I was born male, I went through, you know, my transformation or whatever. Like, because... I'm a divine feminine. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
what I am.
And there's a, I mean, there's a lot you can debate. You can have plenty of arguments about, you know, transgender rights and things like that. But what this cult does is it
is they say fuck.
Yeah. They say fuck. It's like, we're going to tell you
whatever you're,
we're going to tell you what you are. And right. It's one person.
We're going to tell you regardless.
And it's like, what the guy that was being interviewed, the transgender rights person's like, it's about that person's argument is that the right to choose is within that person's, the way they feel and identify within themselves, which you can debate about that regardless of how you feel. That's what their rights to their argument. What Jeff and Shalay are doing is not that. They're not allowing people to make decisions for themselves to like be pro transgender, even though they kind of like advertise it as if they are like, oh yeah, we have, you know, all the types, but they're really just forcing to make it work for their agenda, which is, we promise people twin flames. There's a lot of women here. We have to figure something out, you know? So it's like, in order to make it work, they end up forcing people that weren't even gay to be gay so that they can be in a divine harmonious union, because they justify it by saying.
This one lady, they told her she was divine masculine, and then turned around and told her later on, like, actually, you are divine feminine.
It's like, oh my god.
You remember they made her change back.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, man, this is the cult thing. But this is where, so like Jeff and Shalaya became wealthy. And this is where it's like, you can see that they were feeding off of
you can see the end game.
Yeah. They were feeding off of the lives and the innocent lives of people. Because people was, in order for them, they had to pay for these classes. And then they had coaches that they would, you know, do a lot of classes. And then the coaches would have to pay for coaching certifications all the time. So the coaches are paying Jeff and Shalaya. Mm-hmm. The people that are taking classes are paying them. And so it's just, they became millionaires. And they would flaunt it too. They were flaunting it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, look at all this stuff.
They were wearing all like
designer stuff.
Versace and shit. And just ridiculous outfits
but
that they was wearing. Like, come on. Y'all just flaunting these people's money.
And then that's when it turned.
Like every good cult documentary must have.
So he
That's when things took a turn.
So in order for them to make sure that they are, and they even have this on video. He's like, you know, what's something that we can do to make sure we don't pay a lot of taxes? He said that.
Yeah, he was like, he literally said that. What can their we group do to meeting. Not pay a lot of taxes and not really have to pay our employees?
Yes,
we can start a church.
He said that, and they did.
Yep.
And yeah, yep. Man, just, they started the church
just for those that reason.
Well, that was the reason.
We could start a, you know, a religion of our own through this church.
That is,
and
like,
so they took the divine, they took the twin flames and made it into a religion.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And indoctrinated this religion through this now church.
So now everything that they do falls underneath that umbrella of this twin flame.
So you paying tithes, you know, and everything
church. And they use church language, you know, and to the point where they
interjected the church language.
They do it to a point where they talk about God. They say, like, God says you want to do this. God says you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then they get to a point, because then you just when you thought it was as worse as it's going to get, it took another turn. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You want to talk about how Jeff identifies who he is?
Oh yeah! Oh my God! Come on! I just saw the note. Okay, so Jeff basically announced. Well, Jeff and Shalaya get together and announce something that they recently, you know, realized through research,
yes,
and channeling, and you know, divine listening.
Mm-hmm.
They were searching these images, and then they realized that the images of the white, blue-eyed, dirty blonde Jesus that we all grew up with looks an awful lot like Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Jeff had grown his hair and beard out. He has bluish kind of eyes.
Yep.
Dirty blonde. Hmm. I am Jesus. That's right.
Yes.
And so he announces that to his church.
Man.
And then that's just it. It's just not to be argued yep. with.
Jeff is the second coming.
And then they put a picture of,
Jeff
up against that image of Jesus I just described.
Mm-hmm.
And they fit the same description. I will say that.
Yeah.
They would fit the same general description. Well, he was a tall, skinny looking mm-hmm. guy with blue eyes and dirty blonde hair.
He was saying that the paintings that they painted was of him.
And he said
that
he
was what
Jesus.
they were.
Right.
He said that the people that painted
yeah,
those
like
paintings.
They were painting, these were foresighted
yep.
images
mm-hmm.
of me.
That's what he said. This is like. Oh my goodness.
Those were divine foresight images of yours truly.
Yeah, that's wild.
Way back then. That's why he looked like that, because it's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine
so he wasn't
the power you must feel to say something like
right.
that?
Right. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't believe that Jesus looked like that. And he even argued that. It's like, yeah, man, you know, Jesus coming from the Middle East, he wouldn't look like this, but they were painting me. And I'm Jesus. It's like, what?
That's why it wouldn't look like that, because they were paying me.
So
no matter what.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, there's that.
Yep.
But yep, it gets yep, worse.
Yep. wait, it gets worse.
Oh my goodness.
These folks, by these folks, Jeff and Shalia, they announced that okay, we're trying now. We're trying to have a child.
Yeah.
We're trying to have a divine child.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have a golden child.
They had a vision of they said they had a vision of this golden child. She already gave them name. Mm-hmm. She told them who they mm-hmm. she was. Her name is Grace. And she already has, mm-hmm. you know, she's already, this is before they were even pregnant. It's like, that's mm-hmm. understandable, you know.
I believe yeah. in that. That's, I can relate. Yeah. That happened to me before.
So there's something about that. So,
yeah.
Then
there's something to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what they put on it is what's extra.
Yes. What they put on it.
So they basically said, you know, Grace, who named herself Grace before she was conceived, they had these plans for her, and that their plan that they realized that this child that they create together, once born, becomes the third twin flame in their now triangle that they have.
Mm-hmm.
This divine triangle of twin flame harmonious union.
Yep.
Y'all heard that, folks.
That's what they said.
And
yep.
Basically that Grace would be, she is not to have any sexual partners outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to have sex with God.
Yep.
Yep. Whatever that means.
that means.
And you know, they were like, well, you know, you're going to do that to that kid. You're not going to let them ever have sex till they're just dead. Like, you know, well, I mean, you know, they'll understand that they're, you know, they're divine, they're golden child, they're above the needs of sex with another human,
the golden child.
And so this led to, in the documentary I saw, the lady was like, one of the ladies was talking, was like, this was all just a big distraction, because basically very shortly after that, they announced, we decided to terminate the pregnancy because Grace wasn't ready yet. Grace wasn't really ready yeah. to show up yet. You know, she decided to stay in the astral plane for a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a viable pregnancy, something like that, they said.
Yeah.
And the one of the other ladies was like, you know, she thinks that was all a cover up to cover up what they were really doing. That still has to do with the Golden Child. Like, they were really trying to create a village. I forgot the name that they wanted to call the village. But it's basically a village. Where'd they say it was? Was it Milwaukee? Yeah, somewhere random like
space.
And like, it was supposed to be to where they could build houses. Everybody can stay. Because that's another thing these powerful ghosts like to do. They like to isolate you into a certain area to where you can really get cut off from, you know, any outside influence so they can have all the influence.
Yeah.
And they basically were going to create their own town for the purposes of breeding these golden children. Because think about it, they would have to keep having hella kids.
Yep.
Because if the golden children ain't supposed to have sex with anybody, you know what I mean, wouldn't you have to keep that up? Wouldn't you just have to keep having sex with
that's how you
unless
do it.
At their whim they decide that, oh, you're actually a divine feminine for this divine masculine over here. We had it wrong, sorry.
That's what happens. You know,
whatever's convenience for them, they'll do it.
Oh man. So,
and they were buying the baby Versace baby clothes. Like, it was crazy.
Spoiler alert, they do have a baby named Grace now. So
oh yeah. Was that on the second?
No, that's on their Instagram. I looked them up.
Oh Lord.
But on the second, on the which actually was, I think it came out around the same time, the Amazon Prime one, one of the people that did an interview on them actually visited their home and saw people living in their home, like under, you know, doing the chores and stuff like that. Just basically like, you know, building up their
facility. Well, he was saying he was saying that's what he wanted.
And that's what they were doing.
Through the first
document. So that's exactly what they were doing. So yeah, that happened. And that's probably still happening to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, just to note that this is one of those things that, you know, they're going to deny, you know, that they're a cult. Who says, we are a cult,
right?
Come join us. But legally, because America is free, you know, land of the free, and they, as long as they pay their, you know, do what they're supposed to do legally as far as taxes goes, and that they're working with adults and not doing anything that's not, you know, child endangerment and stuff like that.
Right.
Adults make decisions, even if they're being manipulated, they can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, they making that. So, that's why it was so hard to get R. Kelly, even though he was clearly had a cult.
Yeah. But once you get underage, then it's like, okay, this is where it gets bad. And it's like when you start grooming people at an early age, which is what he's trying to do. Like, that's the thing. It's like they're trying to groom children to be a part of this so that they can continue on and on and on, because they're basically breeding twin flames for each other, which makes you build your own empire. And that's like, that's the
probably what it is. I think those kids, those golden children, probably do get to procreate with other golden children that they put up, but Grace in particular, since Grace is Jeff and Shalia's child, she doesn't have any sexual partners. You know, when she's of age or whatever, she doesn't have any sexual partners at any point in her life.
Yep, that's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, Twin Flames universe. There's so much more because it's still happening. And I think that the people that they interviewed were the people that got out of it, but there are still people that are in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the problem with it, and this is like, if you want to know you're in a cult, if you don't know that you're in a cult, it's because if the one person is the answer and you can't think outside of that or challenge it, then it's dangerous.
And you can't communicate with people that are not in it.
Yeah.
Including your own family.
Yes. And that's where it gets really, really dangerous. And so, like, you know, in America, there are probably a lot of cults that are small.
It's easy to start a cult.
Because, and it's like, you can see.
There's even a show on Netflix called How to Start a Cult.
Yeah. And there's people, like, it's even the one that I was telling you about, the Sarah Lawrence. It wasn't a big cult, but it was, like, definitely one of those things that, you know.
Yeah, it don't got to be big.
People do that. So
it don't even really got to be popular. It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult.
Yeah. But when you get.
Has very little to do with popularity.
No, exactly. It's all about power. And you, mm-hmm. and I think the occult leader, and that's the thing, is like the person that, you know, wants to manipulate people to get to the top. And that's where it's like you can want to help people. And that's the thing. I actually want to help people, you know, in life. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think part of the reason why I like watching these cult documentaries is because I do feel like I'm a leader, but I never want to be the center of any attention. And so I look at these cult documentaries to make sure that I don't fall into any of these.
To make sure you're not a cult leader.
I don't want to fall into this. Siobhan always talking about.
You got to be a certain kind of person I'm going to start a cult.
It's not an accident. You don't accidentally start a cult. You don't accidentally start a cult.
Right.
These people are very intentional and very. They even do, like, if I don't know if you heard it, but the guy was like, you watch this cult documentary. He made his followers watch the Nexium cult documentary.
Yeah, Nexium.
And so, like, the reason is so he's like, and write a letter about how I'm not a cult leader. Like, that's what he said to his followers.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did do it.
So that people can know that I'm not. So yeah, man. So these intrigue me.
Are we rating this?
Rate the cult or the documentary? So
the cult is trash.
The cult is trash. Absolutely.
The documentary is. I'll rewatch.
Yeah,
this in some time. I'll give it some time. I'll rewatch.
I don't want a sequel. Like, let it end.
No,
please
don't. No,
but
they'll sequel.
Probably they
as it keeps going. They'll probably
keep
add to
milking.
It.
I mean, they made some views on this. So, like, honestly, like, we are the target audience. And as long as there's cults around, there'll be money to be made on these documentaries. So I don't think that there's anybody trying to stop them. Because I guarantee you, these folks are not going to go to jail. They're going to be, you know, they might even listen to us, you know. So, yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I would say replay as far as the documentary goes and continue. But I mean, as far as cult documentaries in general, like if you're listening and you know some, please email us. We are the target audience. Yes. So yeah, we are.
Yeah, if you know some, tell us.
We are curious. I wanna know. So, all right. Tell everybody where to follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me. At 7:30, spelled with the number 7. It's just about anywhere.
Yeah. And SmileyJason_SmileyJason.com to check me out. So, yeah, man, any final thoughts?
Don't follow your twin flame. Don't forget the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just have an open heart and a discerning heart and follow your instincts. It could keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Keep you out of bad situations.
Common sense is good to take you a long way.
Tap into that for once. Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Night.
Thank everybody for listening. You can email us at wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. That's wwwtbttpodcast@gmail.com. For questions, movie suggestions, corrections, personal reflections, beat selections, no, like seriously, if you got beats and you want to hear them play during a segment in the show, just send them over. We'll take a listen. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to upload every Thursday, and hey, maybe we'll hit you up with a couple of surprises. Who knows? Who cares? Hopefully you do. Either way, you know where we be at.